We're in the middle of talking about Rav Kook was talking. Rav Kook spoke about the forces that you have to sort of combat against, right? The forces that are weakened forces, the ones that are not supporting or not defending Eretz Yisrael. So, if you recall the lesson we spoke about, we spoke extensively about Rav Hirsch, right? And the three mistakes that Rav Hirsch made. Did we hear for that? I don't know if we were here for that. I remember you. That should ring a bell. Long discussion about Rav Hirsch. Okay. So guess who's next? Okay, so we're on page 62. What?
Sad Murray.
Chabad. You got the
strange
what?
Strange company.
Okay, this is in the middle of the shir. Amma of the heart. Sheila. So remember, we're talking about that this is the shir of Rav Tzvi Yehuda. So they asked him, Hayu admirim shelo hidhishu et enyan Eretz Yisrael? Kivan Rabbi Michabad. Hey, you know,
don't they push Israel today?
Chabad?
Yeah.
No.
They have a whole big thing there.
They have a Kvar Chabad.
Right.
Because that's forever.
Right.
Right.
And the Rebbe said.
Oh, you mean that the Rebbe did not ever tell everybody get up and go.
Right.
That's what he means.
Right. And he said worse things, we're going to see.
Oh,
not worse. I mean, worse in the perspective of Zionist movement.
I always said, I'm just like, remember, he was Ishlava against giving back any land and everything else.
Giving land.
Yeah. Right. Right. The Rebbe said, all Chabadikim must move to Israel. Would they? Probably if he had said it?
If he would have said it, yes.
They would have.
How following they are, they would. Yes.
Chuba.
Look, they went all over the world for it.
Right. He says, Tom Katabti Nick. I once wrote against him. Okay, so you have to look at this long footnote, foot number 29. So if I read some of the footnote, he says, V'yachaz Ravim Shidi Parsimu Al Lo Bir Tzon Chak Teche Mihagalut. The Rabbi wrote, right, you will not, the Rabbi wrote, you will not willfully. Yeah, there's only one, I mean, he was talking about the Rabbi at the time. Okay, Aleph. Right, the idea that you'll have a land of milk and honey in somewhere in Chutz La'aretz is found in Saint Rakhul Shonim Shal Datam VaAviram. Ha'omrim Al Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Na'aleh. Only Datam VaAviram say we'll find milk and honey somewhere else. Okay, bet. Kishehu b'Chutz La'aretz, Gam Kishehu b'Chutz La'aretz, the Rebbe wrote the following: Even when he's in Chutz La'aretz, Hu b'Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem Melokecha Bo. Right, the Rebbe wrote. And when he's in Chutz La'aretz, he's in a place called Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo.
Wherever he found himself.
What?
Wherever he finds himself.
Right. That, those are the words of HaRabbi Milubavitch.
Really?
Yeah. Dibir, he says, HaTorah HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo. Right, when the Torah says the place that God has chosen, what does it refer to?
Yishalayim.
Only, right? Ne'amar b'Torah Hashem min Hashamayim Rak al Kedushat Eretz Yisrael b'Yerushalayim. And it was only said about Israel and Yerushalayim. Meaning, so the Rabbi used language that the Torah uses to describe only Israel, and he uses it to describe. He says, even Chutz La'aretz, you could be where Hashem chooses. Right. So he found that very incendiary. Okay. He says, Gam sham efsharit avodat korbanot mibchina ruchanit. He says, yeah. He says a person can offer korbanos, spiritual korbanos, even in where in Sham and Chutz La'aretz. Okay?
So
the Rabbi said it, yes. Avodat HaKodesh Hi Asek B'Torah, Shkedata, Hagdalata V'Hadarata, V'Charadat, Kodesh Shol Kiyum Mitzvata Kedusha V'Emunah Shleima. He says, so what's worshipping Hashem is studying Torah and immersing yourself in it and growth in it, etc., etc. Okay, so, you know, and so he's against that. Skip to Dalet. Okay, B'chol HaMakom Asher Aski Et Shemi Sham Eretz Yisrael. Right, so the Rebbe said, you quoted again, any place that God's name is mentioned, that's Eretz Yisrael. So you can take off a Brenta, a Zionist, like Rav Tzvi Yehuda, you would not like that at all.
Right.
This is a very, also, incendiary statement.
This concept, what the Rebbe wanted to bring out with this, what it would be simply thought, is the concept that wherever you're going to find yourself, don't think that you're away. You're still responsibility, and you can still come close. I don't think he was trying to give chizik to people wherever they were.
Right, but why he can't? I mean, he
but
was
his
like,
language was in order to try to enthuse him to, hey, you're like in Israel. I don't.
No,
know
I don't think
really,
so. I think the Rebbe was saying that Eretz Yisrael in the Golos. I think there's a fundamental difference. I think the Rebbe probably felt, and I'm not a student in Chabad. that in, when the Nesel is in Golus, so then the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is sort of like
dissipated,
and wherever you are, your search for Hashem in Golus, that if you find God somewhere, if you find him in, you know,
so he's going like
in Pinsk. So then, right,
wherever the Gemara is and the Yeshiva is, that's where you should be.
Correct.
Right. Some kind of replacement theology.
Not replaces.
Substitute theology. Right. I mean, we can't get back. When Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring us back, then right. Of course we'll go back to Israel.
Otherwise, he's given us the tools that we can emulate here.
Right. So back to the top. Right. So you can see all these things that Yehuda didn't like, and went on and on. He parsem b'shmo, it was publicized as his name, she'em mitzvah l'dor v'eretz Yisrael. Right, it was said his name that there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Harei zut marmut v'reshesh. Lo'olam yadur adam v'eretz Yisrael. It's an explicit Gemara. So how could the Rebbe say not to? Gemara says too, yesh mitzvah l'dor v'eretz Yisrael, v'am mitzvah lo ishtana. Right? Even a mitzvah kiyumis, a mitzvah not kiyumis, you have to live in Israel. Your terumi kach kursam, it's also publicized, kaviyachol, shakol makam shav Rebbe nimsa, wherever the Rebbe is, shom Eretz Yisrael.
Shom the Geula.
Right. So he says, well, Eretz Yisrael, he devar mamash, that's not true. Meaning, even if he was using figurative language, Israel is something literal. Lo artilai yuchani, it's not spiritual. What's artilai? Anyone? I didn't have a chance to look up that word. Artilai. I don't have to look up that word. I'll put a little footnote there. Okay. Ha'im b'tzimat chabad, enoskim b'sod, kabbalah, b'nistir. He says, wait a second, you just told me that everything about, right, that if you understood sod, you'd understand the beauty of Israel. So don't chabadnikim also do sod? Can. Shubha, yes. Achiyeh shemadrekot, b'divrei Torah. He says, yeah, maybe they do sod, but there are levels.
They actually did that. You know why? Think about what they built in Eretz Yisrael, the Kfar Chabad.
Yeah.
And also in...
What they built?
And also in Yerushalayim now. In
Yerushalayim also.
Yerushalayim also. You can see it from Matistov. It's
a replica of 770 in Yerushalayim.
Replica of 770.
For us.
So they literally, what I'm thinking, putting it all
like
together.
Like they turned it around. They think Yerushalayim is Brooklyn.
Yerushalayim is wherever the Rebbe was. And so we'll bring Yerushalayim back to where it should be by bringing 770 there. There's 770 was in, but now they just built.
I can't say the things that I think about this on because I'm taping this. So, you know what I'm saying? There are things. Chabad is incredible things. I mean, incredible things.
I've seen them help when I needed them in places where I had to be.
In places, and they go places, and they do things, and they have mysterious efforts. That's incredible. But there are things about Chabad that are distressing as well.
Yes.
You know. Unfortunately. Anyway. So that's what he says. I think in the court works for you. He says, "Yes, my dear God, the Jew Omer, my Dichsiv is Zosha Torah, Sher Sam Moshe." Right? What does it mean? This is the Torah. Zacha, Natid Lo Sam Hachayim. If you bear it, then it's the elixir of life. Lo Zacha, Nasa Lo Sam Hamisa. That's pretty harsh. Sam Hamisa. He calls it the poison of death. Became the Gemara. Divrei Torah Yesh Behem LaHamis UlaHachayos. Right, the Gemara says words of Torah can bring life or kill. The meimanimba sham dechayay, those who take it the right way, the masmiyimba, those who take it the left way, sham demavda. Right, there you go. It's true too, but okay. Right, don't go left. Meaning what he's saying. So he's saying, don't they learn Kabbalah? Don't the Chabadnikim learn Kabbalah? So that's up to Yehuda's answer. Yes, they do, but.
They misinterpreted.
They do it wrong.
Anyway.
Wow. Okay. And I'm not encrypting. That's bad. Echidachen shiavor lidei shibushim ke'elu. How could they make such a crazy mistake? So what's his answer? Yesh madrigot. Yesh shelo zachu. I didn't get it. Sheila. Avam mishe ot mitasek b'tera dishma. If you immerse yourself in tera dishma, l'chara tzerech lizkot to beget a zachu. Right? If you're dying, if you're really doing a mishma, then how could you not merit to understand in its truth? Tshuva, the answer. Chazal magirim yachas al dimu Torah. Right? The rabbis say, Yishaneh pirko mea v'achad pamim. Right? You say you have to learn 101 times. Avhalogam b'mea pamim utzadik v'over Hashem. But if you learn 100 times, then why do you have to learn 101 times? Ela yesh madrigot. I think he really believed that the Chabad theology was missing an important points. Very, very important points. That they were, you know, that they were so tied to this Rebbe theology, to this Rebbiness, to this Hasidism, that they couldn't get beyond it. You know, I sort of can't an epiphany, sort of learning this. It kind of sticks in the back of your mind. And I was reading this, or I was reading something else, and like you see a sort of a fascinating development with the development of Chabad and Kabbalah. If Rav Kook is right, then Kabbalah is about the interconnectedness of anything. And it seemed to me that the study of Kabbalah needed to exist in order to be a premeditation for the possibility of returning to Eretz Yisrael. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning, the whole idea of Kabbalah as it developed as a study, as a discipline, right? That, I think, brought about the possibility that there could be such a thing as a yearning for an understanding of what it means to be a complete Jew. Right? Kabbalah is a study of the unseen, the hidden, the connected. I mean, really, from my understanding of it, from what Rav Kook is saying, it's the connectedness of everything. How everything is really one, and one, and everything is one and the same. How it's all, how it all fits together in the perfect picture. Right? And Rav Kook says that the only way that fits is in Eretz Yisrael. So you have this sort of development in history. First, it had to be an intellectual thing, right? This idea, and then only then could it awaken the notion within the Jewish people that we're missing something.
Is he saying the Kabbalah is for everybody, or for the Rebbe, who then should disseminate the love to the rest of the masses?
Yeah, sure. I don't understand.
In other words, there's other, you learn that you're not supposed to learn Kabbalah until a certain age.
Well, they felt that at the 40 or whatever. Right.
So he's not upset with the followers that they did wrong. He's upset with the Rebbe that he didn't instruct his followers.
No, I think that it had a, how shall I say this? What I was going to say then, it had a progression. Right? You know, the Hasidus was a sort of a reaction to a combination. I mean, I'm not throwing out broad terms. Stay with me here. It was a combination of, on the one hand, the study of Kabbalah and the rigidness and the dryness of Litvish, of regular Ashkenazic Jewry, right? The mundane, the humdrumness. There needed to be joy and excitement. So it was a combination that was necessary at a certain time, but you know what I'm saying? It's part of the development, the process of development, and emanating from that Hasidus. You know, nowadays is yeshivas, are they Litvish or the Hasidish?
The Hasidish are more Litvish.
And.
Yeah.
And the Litvish are absolutely more Hasidish. It's sort of become, you know what I'm saying? Does it matter really what kind of coat you wear, or what kind of hat you wear, or what your socks look like? It's all the same, you know, the singing and the ruach and the passion.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that was never, you know, that was never a part of the Litvish. It was an academy of study. So all this in sort of historically kind of leads itself to these progressions. And so it can very well be that in one of these movements, the movement will take a piece, but it won't have the whole puzzle. You understand what I'm saying? It's a part of the movement. It's part of a progression. I mean, if you ask me, what is Chabad today? How many people study? They study Chabad Judaism, but even Chabad now, if you go to Chabad houses, not in Brooklyn, go to Chabad house in Michigan. Mm-hmm. You know, can an average Chabad person tell you what Chabad theology is?
I don't know.
Can a guy davening Chabad tell you what Chabad theology is?
No.
You understand what I'm saying? So what Chabad has become, at least in the mainstream, is
outreach.
Mm-hmm. What's it?
Outreach.
Actually, some clowns was listening to Rabbi Silver.
Yeah.
He mentioned, he remembers how people used to daven Chabad.
Yeah.
The whole Hasidim, and they would just stand and daven for hours and meditate. And he said, it was very different. It was more about how you daven and how you feel.
Right.
Wasn't this outreach is a new thing.
Right.
And he said, most of modern Chabadis, they don't even know. They don't daven the same way. They don't know about this.
That's exactly my point. Right. So they'll study the teachings of the Rebbe, but without a Rebbe to have them, without a Rebbe to lead them, Chabad Judaism will assimilate into the rest of normative Judaism, I think. You know what I'm saying? Without somebody giving them that kind of direction. It'll just kind of assimilate. And so it'll be a different style. You know, it'll have its own particular flavor. But if you'd ask somebody, you know, we got plenty of people. So they don't like certain behaviors that go on in Chabad. So they'll come to Young Israel. Or vice versa. Young Israel's too dry. They wanted a little more flavorful of Chabad. But if you'd ask them, well, what's the fundamental difference between Chabad and Young Israel? they're just across the street from each other. You really probably, you couldn't really tell. Yeah, whatever news I think that is. You know, and that's an interesting phenomenon. So if say you know, so I think that sort of bears out Rav Tzvi Yehuda's point, saying, well, they're, you know what I'm saying? If it was an ideology that had fundamental, you know, strength, then it would continue to flourish. I think, although some Chabad guys are listening to this on the internet and send me a flaming email saying, "What are you talking about?" Yeah, you're going to say something. No? Okay.
Yeah, I know it's a little, but they do talk about, like, in Pei system. I asked once about other Hasidim.
Yeah.
And someone said, yeah, they have certain sporim, right? Certain rabbis wrote certain sporim on certain subjects, but in Chabad we have a system, like, complete system.
Good, what is it?
And actually, and I'm not an expert, there was the speaker, when it was New Year, Rosh Hashanah Hasidim, right?
Yeah.
He used to be not Chabad, and he was talking how he was basically kicked out of yeshiva. But he was Hasidic before, boy. And then he became interested in Chabad, they kicked him out. And he said, "Rashi, why are you kicking me out? There are other Hasidim, you have different people here learning. Why?" He said, "Oh, they have a little bit, they think a little bit, but you have the entire Torah. Like you have a different entire Torah. I don't know all details, but that's the way his Rosh Yeshiva saw it."
I don't know what that means either, in all honesty. All right, let's go on. Okay, he says, Chazal ma'agdim yachas lim b'tor, we said that already, he said, Ma'amar Chazal yisodim yubah b'shnei mekomot b'shas. There's a fundamental quote from the Chazal that's brought in Shas twice. In the Darnba Metziah, b'shinuyei lashon. It's brought in the Darnba Metziah in different ways. Signon v'yuchad she'ein dom ela b'chol ha'shas. Okay, it is a unique style. Amar Rabbi Amarab, my dichsi, mi ha'isha chacham bi'avein azos, al mahabda aretz. Says the man, Rab, who is the wise man and will understand why was the land lost? So the Gemara says the following: Davar zeh nish'al chachamim b'nevi'im v'lo pirshu. They asked the chachamim, they asked the nevi'im, they couldn't explain it. Ancha pirshu hakadosh baruch hu be'atzmo. So they had to go to God, and God explained it. So he says, Signon chotech, it's a very cutting style. Marish, it's trembling, it's loud, mavhil, it's confusing. What chachamim? Did they ask? Who could not answer the question? Well, so they went to the chachamim, the scholars of the Torah, and they said, why was the land lost? And what did chachamim say?
They don't know.
We have no idea. Nevi'im, they went to the prophets. Lo pirshu. Shamatim davar kaze? You ever heard something? Chachamim u'nevi'im lo pirshu. That the chachamim, the scholars and the prophets said, I don't know.
What period
are you talking about? I'm pretty sure I'll call this Baruch until God himself, what?
What period are you talking about?
This is the time of the Talmud, the Gemara. The Gemara asked the question, why in the world did the Jewish people lose the land of Israel? So he says that they went, in the time when they lost it, they went to the rest scholars.
The first temple we're talking about.
Right.
Gemara wasn't.
No. Gemara is talking about during the period of the first temple, what was the reason why it was lost and why the Jews went to Golis?
Right. In the first temple period. So they went to the prophets.
Jeremiah.
Right. They went to the prophets. Right. In the words of the Chachamim, they went to the Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im didn't know. Couldn't tell you. So until they went to actually Pirshua, Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo, until God Himself gave the explanation. Kadosh Baruch Hu Makor HaChachamim Ba'Nevi'im. Right? God is the source of the prophets. Ha'instancia Ha'elyona, meaning the instance, the original source. Right? The prime force. Ma'lo Pirshu. Why couldn't they explain? Pasuk B'Yirmiyah. Amma Abda Ha'aretz. It's a very simple pasuk in Yirmiyah. Why was it lost? Abda Ha'aretz Zugalus. Right? It's exile. Did they not know? Everybody else, why was the Beis HaMikdash lost? First one was the big three: idolatry, immorality, and murder. And the second one was the baseless hatred. Kulam yodim. So he says, "Yes, chas biur bazeb maharal." If you look in the Maharal, you'll see he explains this to some degree. Anu nifgashim kan b'mechkarim historiim shel chachmei Yisrael. So we've now...
Torah.
What?
Chachmei Torah.
Chachmei HaTorah, right. We're reading like historical subjects. I mean, the chachamim, they're looking for history. Lo drayim shel historiyonim apikorsim. Right, so we want to know why the Jewish people lose the land of Israel. So what's the history guy going to tell you?
Oh, he's going to say there was internal fighting.
Right, the strife and the lack of trade agreements and the Jewish people wage war. And we're not talking about that. Hatarayinam etchilim Ezra. Alamilash, we're going to start to begin with Ezra, with the second temple. Remember Nishachat HaRash Ba'peh. Yesh Breita, so there's a Breita. Tani Rabbanon, Ketzad Seder Mishnah. What's the word of the Mishnah? Mefarat Sham, Ketzad Lama Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Shabbat Peh L'chol Yisrael. Right, how did Moshe Rabbeinu teach the Torah to all of Israel? Ulimid Aaron, he taught Aaron, Achron the Bnei Aaron, so then he taught Aaron's sons, Achrekin, the Shibim Azakanian, Achrekin L'chol Yisrael. So for, Moshe taught each piece four times, Aaron, Aaron's sons, the elders, and then all the Jewish people. Harambam, בהקדמת חיבורו הגדול יד חזק הרמב"ם, the introduction יד חזק פותח כך, opens this way. כל המצוות שניתנו למשה בסיני, every mitzvah למשה גד, בפירושן ניתנו, שנאמר, right, it was given, explained. So when Moshe got the mitzvah of Shabbos, like, what did God give him? He didn't just say, keep Shabbos, he told him how. שנאמר, ואין לכם לדוחות אבן והתורה והמצוות. I gave you the duchos and the Torah and the mitzvot. Torah, זו תורה שבכתב. והמצווה זו פירושה, right? תורה זו תורה שבכתב, וציוונו לעשות את התורה על פי המצווה, ומצווה נקרא תורה שבעל פה. So every written Torah, this is what we believe. Every time written Torah comes with an oral Torah. Did you ever tell you what that conservative rabbi asked me the day after Yom Kippur? I never told you this? Calls me, I got a question for you. Sure? I didn't have a chance. I saw him at the JCC. He said, he wanted to know the following. When did Yom Kippur become a day of fasting?
Wow. Didn't he say this, so he didn't understand how to translate that?
I said, when? I mean, it does say, the Enisim
es nashas. Yeah, but that means Vegas hard. How do we know that means fasting?
Yeah, he said, Inoue, we all know that Inoue means affliction. So, but when did it become a day of fasting?
Yeah, question. That Torah Shabbat.
And I said to myself, well, God did give the oral interpretation to Moshe. He said, literally, like, he goes, you and I know we're just never going to agree about this issue. And it was that point that I realized in my interview for the Young Israel of Oak Park, they asked me a question. The question was, would you give a retired conservative rabbi an aliyah in your shul? And I thought to myself, wow, that's a slam dunk. Sure I would. No problem whatsoever. Turns out it's not such a simple matter because Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, well, these guys are happy questions. Like you say, Asher Bacharanu, and they talk to Hashem. Who knows what they're really thinking about? And I was like, you know, come on, let's go. I mean, yeah, we give them aliyah. The more I'm like, encounter, and this is, by the way, this is not the new guard. The new kids on the block, they have no concept of Torah, really, at all. They're not really taught anything about Torah. But this has been around for years. You learned in seminary 30 years ago. And he says to me, you know, like, well, you know, we don't really have that conception of the oral tradition in the same kind of way. Well, because that's the accepted Jewish practice. It became forbidden Judaism. You know what I'm saying? And I begin to wonder.
My attorney put it like this when I asked.
I begin to wonder. If you're going to prevent the conservatives, every Orthodox
from the morning until after the services at like about 12 o'clock, then we went out to a restaurant.
God, you know.
I said, like, why? Because it made me feel good. I was a part. That was their answer of why they fast.
Yeah, well, that's conservative reform.
Reform.
Yeah.
Made me feel good, I was a part.
That's not a rabbi.
Yeah. No, but the that's...
I mean, it became clear...
the rabbi's views.
It became clear... No, that's not true. It became clear... Well, maybe it is true. It became clear to me that the only people who believe in Torah Shabbat Peh anymore are Orthodox. You know, do you believe that there's such a thing as an oral tradition? It's unbelievable. Anyway, so that's our belief. Zos Torat Moshe. This is the Torah of Moshe. But Nigud, in contrast, La Karaim, La Pikorsim, La Conservativim, Ayadadim. The Yachas Lahem Shech Torah Shabbat, the relationship of the continuation. Moshe, he chil Yisrael Torah Shabbat Mutah. Moshe, he passed it on, transmitted it in its completion. The Yeshua Madrego, Deraisa Derabana. So what's the answer? Let's go back to our point. Alma havda aretz. Right, the Gemara says, why was the land lost? Chachamim u'neviyim lo pirshu. Ad shepirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzba. Chacham didn't know, the Neviyim didn't know. Ma'api reifa kodesh baruch hu ba'atzmo. What did God say? As kol ha'am lo haya mushchat. Right. You need to remember, not all the people were mushkas, right? Corrupt. Adarav ha'ita gadlut ruchanit. Divu'it v'taranit. There was greatness, greatness. Hayu tosei Torah, lomdei Torah. Like when we say there was Gilei Arayos, Yichas Damim, and the Avodah Zarah, there was. But there was also, I mean, it was like, it was terrible contrast. You know, Rabbi Akiva lived during the Korban also. Is that by Cheney though? No.
Yeah.
It's by Cheney. My bad. Even Bais Rishon, though, there were, who was Bais Rishon? I take it back out of, you know, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Ach, he says, Malamdei Torah, Marbitei Torah, they were learning Torah, they were spreading Torah. Ach Tosei HaTorah, Lo Yedauni. People who grasped the Torah, they did not know me. Masasach Lin Yanemu. Relevant to our discussion. Ki Alo Tashei Lach Chachamim Levim Lo Pershu Abad Shuvah. So that answer, right? Right, what's the answer that they couldn't explain? Al azvam et Torati. They abandoned my Torah. So what does it mean that how could they have abandoned my, what does it mean they abandoned my Torah if we just said that they were grain Torah? Tek abav hemsech. So the Gemara says, Amar avinu marav, my al azvam et Torati, al selo berchu b'torah tchila.
Yeah.
They didn't say berchas b'torah. Mahi berchas b'torah, bracha b'torah tchila. Okay, before we go on, I have to give Aram an opportunity to get, you know, like, this is my thing. No, okay.
The famous thing is, what did they say on this?
Yeah, the famous thing is that they thought it was for themselves.
It was for themselves. It wasn't doing right. The same Shemayim.
Okay, but that's why they lost Eretz Yisrael?
Right, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying...
But that's why they lost Eretz Yisrael?
Right.
Meaning?
No, they lost it for three things, remember?
No, no. Okay. So what is that?
What is
Gemara? Oh, this Gemara is in Nedarim and Baba Metzia. Nedarim. Yeah, Baba Metzia, Pehe, Aleph, and Bet.
85. Okay. Later you have to
look at
Gemara Shabbos. I think page
55. Why? What are you referring to?
I think there, for the discussion, Hashem sends angels to mark. Righteous people before destruction.
Yeah.
Mark them. I'm gonna save those people. There's argument, and so an angel says they're not good either because they did not
rebuke
other people. This rebuke, and Hashem says, in my heart, I know the people would not listen to them, so they didn't have to rebuke. And the angel says, you know that, but they did not know, and Hashem agrees, and he killed them first. I think it's talking about first.
The righteous people.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to show it to me later.
Yes,
okay. So what asher lo bracha b'torah tchila? What does tchila mean first? Zo bracha rishona. That's the first bracha. Asher b'charbanu mikol ha'amim.
Oh, he's picking up on that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kano afteach. That's the key. Ha'im nigashora nigashim la'torah mitoch dveikut b'kedushat klal Yisrael? Mitoch dveikut b'shkulat Yisrael? But he says, why do you learn the Torah? Is it because I said that, I mean, to be honest with you, the nusach of the bracha, the language of the bracha, should speak to you. What does it mean, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim? Right? The Torah is a code of a Jewish nation. So you learning Torah because of that? If not because of this, Im lo mitoch ha'dveikut v'asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, az ha'ikar chaser min ha'sefer. Do you learn Torah as part of the Jewish nation,
mm-hmm.
or do you learn Torah as part of the Jewish religion? Meaning that Shem Bracha Asher Nasalanu Torah Emes V'Chaye Olam Nata B'Shochenu, right? That's the religion. But the first part Asher B'Charbanu Mikol Ha'Amim V'Nasalanu Asher Torah is not the Jewish religion. It's the nation. A'am. They're very powerful. That's the foundation. That's the fundamental. Even though there's so a lot of Torah mitzvos, chashivu Torah v'charediut, right? Significance in Torah and charediut means piety. In heim lo mitoch hadveikus, ha'achiza v'hayidia mukah chiyunit, this necessary idea that asher b'charvan mikol ha'amim, right? And we talk about because of that nafalanu et torato. Azatotzaot noraot. Then the results are terrible. Kol yistar shalut hamahalchim shal bayit rishon and bayit sheni. Right? All of the. I mean, why was the Torah lost? What was the root cause was the question. He says everything that happened in the first and second diet were because shechasayra hagisha ha'amitik laTorah. Because they were missing this
correct approach.
Right, this important approach, the true approach to Torah. I mean, there's a little Eucharist in here, isn't it? Like, we know the truth, we got it. I mean, I'm on board, but you know. Kach b'dorot kadmonim, v'kach gam b'dorotenu. Happened back then, happened today. Zeh ha-yesod ha-eloki. This is the fundamental principle, the godly principle. Yesod ha-kudushati, the holy foundation. Yesod ha-emet v'amuna le'inyan Yisrael ve'oraita.
The what? Song at the point.
Okay.
What's the main? The
fundamental point is that God, that the Torah is the code of law of the Jewish nation.
Right.
It's not the spiritual guide for Jewish people.
The law.
Right? Do you see the Torah as being the guiding force for the Jewish people, as a nation, as a community?
As opposed to
an individual
Torah. Spiritual guide. Personal spiritual guide. Right? And if you see the Torah as being a national constitution, you can call it. Right. That has obviously many
sovereign zones.
That defines a nation, but then you need a land. How can you have a nation without a place? And they're all connected, it's all one. It's a fundamentally, totally different approach than everything we're trying to
say. The opposite. We say because we have a unifier, the Torah, we can be any place and still be unified. That means to say,
now see, I said
all,
that
right, all throughout Gullus, what allowed the Jews to remain?
Sure,
is because we had a
Torah. Correct. He would agree with that. That's true. But remember what Rav Kook said. It all was based upon this, the continuation of the Jewish people was based upon the hope and the understanding of Eretz Yisrael. He said it explicitly.
Right. Yeah. Originally.
Remember he said, I just want to say, just to quote him. He said, yes, we survived. Yes, we survived.
Of the Jewish identity.
He said, Tzipiyat Yeshua, hi hakoach ha'amami chala yehudita galutit. He said, it wasn't because we had the Torah. It was because we expected, we hoped to be redeemed.
And that's fundamentally different than how most people looked at it. You can still say that the Israel has an integral part. But you can't say
you put on tefillin because I got because Baruch Hu gave you a mitzvah of putting on tefillin, or do you put on tefillin because you're a member of the Jewish people?
Oh, so take a look at the bracha that we say. For instance, So the lesson that we use. Why do we do it? It's not because
always
he is, but always plural. But he gave us a commandment.
That's exactly what.
See what he's saying.
Yes, but he's saying you have to look at all of that.
It's not in
the. You can read the same thing in the context of Shirkichanu, the Jewish nation, Bnei Yisrael, Am Yisrael, right? And how. Our goal is to be a people, not just to be an individual, a group of Jews, necessarily. And I was thinking about it's an important message for Hanukkah. It's Hanukkah today, so like it speaks to a I was thinking about the concept of a universalism as opposed to particularism. And what I mean by that is, do I do what's good for me, or do I do what's good for us? And this is a pet peeve of mine. I've gotten in the soapbox quite a bit. So the jumping off point was, in this week's Parsha, Yehuda says finally, like in the dialogue between Yehuda and Yaakov about whether Binyamin would be allowed to go down to Mitzrayim, right? Yaakov says, no way. You can never take Binyamin. And finally Yehuda says, listen, Anochi e'ervenu miyadi tibakshenu. He says, I guarantee.
Then the Gemara says his blood, but he didn't have any peace. Medrash talks about it.
I guarantee he'll come back. What, you mean he didn't have any peace?
He didn't have any peace for many years after that the bones of Yehuda rattled.
Why?
Because he gave Chachamim his Arba Devreichem.
Yeah.
Because even though he brought him back, but because he said it, Yehuda did not have any peace until later on. Who was it? Was Mispalo that his bones should be.
Yeah, I'll look at the Midrash. So, meaning, did Yehuda want to guarantee the Yom HaSeif in reality? No, no.
No, he wanted to take care of the situation.
No. If you'd ask yourself, in the ultimate scheme of things, Yehuda being Ben Rachel, Ben Leah, versus Binyamin, Ben Rachel, did he want Binyamin to survive?
I would say yes, because that's the whole idea that they did Shuvah. You can't say not the whole thing that later on is borne out by Yosef is to see you're no longer the same person.
Okay, but from his own, well, what would have been better for you to take care of Binyamin or not take care of Binyamin, personally?
What do you mean take care?
I mean, like, you know, the survival of Binyamin is not paramount in Yehuda's personal interest. It's not. Because he favors Binyamin. Because Yaakov loves Binyamin more than he loves him.
Again,
whatever.
It's very hard to be.
I understand what you're saying. But the bottom line is, Yehuda said, I don't care what's good for me.
Right.
What's more important is,
I set aside my personal feelings of what I would want on the person.
Is what's important for us. Right? Particularism as opposed to universalism as opposed to particularism. So, and that's your Yesod of Chanukah. What's Yesod of Chanukah? I mean, think about Rabbi Yabi Ati and Tmei and Biyad Tahorim. At some point, somebody had to say, you know, in order for us to be a Jewish people, I'm going to have to stand up and risk my life.
You're talking about personal sacrifice.
Yeah, 100%.
Understand,
that's the story of Hanukkah.
Two ways of looking at it. One is to say, I'm willing to give up on myself in order to help the population.
Why would you do that?
The second way to look at it, I'm willing to do what I have to do because that I'm part of the population. And even if it means my sacrifice, it's not that I sacrifice. I live on with what I've done.
I would argue, I mean, and the Jewish people, any cause only survives and thrives when people put their own interests second.
Personally.
And the interests of the cloud first. And I think that's an important you saw.
That's exactly the argument they said. Why is in Russia? Back in Russia.
Yeah.
Because on the common, most other people say it's impossible to go and teach other people.
Yeah.
Danger, they're going to kill us.
Yeah.
I'll keep if I can. You saw other people, they were keeping them, and I'm trying to.
But you could argue, that's why Chabad is so successful. They're successful because they're selfless, because of the Mesiras Nefesh.
Yeah.
People identify with Mesiras Nefesh.
And they
appreciate it and they respect it. But this idea, so meaning, are you Jewish? Is my firm kind of about my Olam Haba? My mitzvah? Right, my connectedness with Ribono Shalom, or is it about what we can accomplish together? So if it's about what we can accomplish together...
I'd say it's a combination of both.
What's first? Yeah, of course it's both.
It depends on what...
I mean, that's why, no, but that's exactly what he's saying. Of course it's both. But it's first, Asher Bachar Bonu Mikol Ha'amim, V'Nasolano Asher Asher, and then Asher Nasolano Teres Emes.
But that difference
of what comes first... It's a huge fundamental distinction in how you're going to focus your Yiddishkeit.
Yeah, I really see.
It'll depend not only on the concept, it's on the halacha.
You know, you understanding it better now?
It's exactly, where he's coming from.
That's exactly the point. Yeah. That's correct. That's exactly the point.
Rabbi, you also have a distinction in halacha. For instance, I have a responsibility
to
daven with a minyan.
Yeah.
Correct? And that's my kehillah responsibility.
Correct.
At the same token, we have halacha. What happens if a person wants to daven the Sikin and the Minyan doesn't have? Can he daven by himself? Even though it's a person.
Whatever person has better kavana individually, privately.
Then he should daven privately.
Never daven with a Minyan. What if there wouldn't be a Minyan without him?
Ask your local rabbi.
Exactly. Ish Pashat.
Not Pashat.
Exactly.
But
then he'd have to sacrifice his...
I'm not talking
but if
about
it were a Pashat question, it wouldn't be ask your local Orthodox
rabbi. Okay.
It would be... Give up your rest, you can dig a little down the
food. I have real examples. We had the minion at Ford. It was very tight.
Yeah.
We used to have one guy all the time to say, okay, we change now because it's better to down it through. At lunchtime, I'll go to down it for and I'll come back. I said, we may not have minion without you. I want to Rabbi Shvar. And I said, well, what do you think about this guy? He wants Daven is the best place he could. There's so many people from Daven in Jewish.
What? Okay. So he's saying that, he says, Chasera, Gisha Amiti the Torah. The true perspective to the Torah. And this is Rav Kook's philosophy. And I think this is the fundamental principle. Is it about me and my spirituality and my connection to the Rebbein Shel Olam, or is it first and foremost about the Am Yisrael, you know, the Koach HaYisraeli Sheba Olam, the Jewish people and the power of the Jewish people and the Jewish nation, and seeing it as such. And it's very hard for someone not raised with this mentality to assimilate it, but you have to think about it a lot. You have to sort of consider it and understand that it's a very different, subtle, extremely subtle, but very different perspective and way of looking at things. This is it. This is the foundation. This is the fundamental principle. Without it, yeshnam ihavanot. V'ribuy apikorsim. You have misunderstandings and many apikorsim. Avat alam av tanu. God gave us eternal love. Right, great compassion. Have compassion on us, we ask. Right? To learn what? All the words of Talmud. Talmud, Gemara, Lomod Lalame. Right? So we should understand and teach. Talmud Torah Tachah Zehav Muvan B'Zeh Askira Ne'emanu L'Torah Torah Tashem Tanima Avi Kolela Talacha V'Agada.
That's funny, because Rav Shlomo Sobel once said that the difference between the Haredim and the Dati Lumin is that really the Haredim, the way he sees them, is that they're very firm and everything, but it's from a Yechidi point of view.
And now you're understanding a little bit more what he meant.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I'm saying I don't really... It's very hard to inculcate that into, you know, that's like a nice...
No, it's not. That's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. No, it's not.
But how do you apply that to the guy on the street?
You have to ask yourself that question yourself.
But a lot of it would have to do with serving an army. It's a spiritual...
Right. You're giving of yourself. You're sacrificing your Limud HaTorah because this is what Am Yisrael L'Chalasha needs of you. What do you mean? It's relatively straightforward.
No, I'm saying...
Yeah. It's making personal sacrifices in your front side
for the benefit of the Jewish people.
And they wouldn't disagree with that, but not everybody can do it. I mean, there are people...
You can't say everyone can do it. Like overreaching.
What?
As an umbrella policy.
No, you can't... If you have that umbrella policy, you have to act on it. You can't say, I believe in it, but I don't do it at all. So each person, I think, could pick and say...
Well, let's say like Torah Mada or Torah Va'avoda or...
I think Torah Mada is not
philosophies.
Torah Mada is not an overarching life value. It might be a system of belief, but it's not an overarching... What she's talking about
is a guiding umbrella.
Yes, like a guiding, you know... You could feel this and also believe in Torah Mada, or not believe in Torah Mada.
Not contradictory.
You know what I'm saying? What this means is, if you really take it this way, at some point you have to say to yourself, it's not just about me. What am I doing for the Jewish people? For the Jewish nation? And it could very well be that your contribution, you feel, is in eye care. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But you're not doing eye care in order to parnasa for your family.
For Shabbos for somebody.
But no, you understand? It's not eye care as parnasa for your family. Right. It's eye care as a member of the Jewish nation furthering the cause of the Jewish people. But then you'd have to ask yourself, is the best way to do that in Henry Ford Hospital? And then whatever the answer is going to be.
Crusty.
Whatever, I'm sorry. Isn't that a division of Henry Ford?
No.
Oh, I just said like blasphemy. I apologize. I want to finish this. I got to finish section because I don't want to go back there. Yeah. The beginning of Shiva Tzion, and by the way, time has proven that they all changed their mind. Right, the kimat below, only the most bonkers guys who go to Iran, you know, and they're widely viewed now as considered totally off the path, are not in favor of Eretz Israel anymore. So what does that tell you? That there's that proof that 200 years ago, that the whole Yeshiva Israel was totally against Eretz Israel, and now they change their mind.
not against. They were saying that's not the focus. Of
they
the
were Jewish. Against Zionism.
Against Zionism.
Going back to Israel.
They were against Jews going to Israel. No. They were against, they were against it.
Put it to you like this.
Read the word. They were against it. They were against it.
They were also against
Zionism. No, they're against secular Zionists. They're against modern Zionists. They're not against living in Israel. Not anymore. Not at all. They're not even against supporting the Jewish, the state of Israel. They, you know, by and large, are in, especially in America and around the world, I don't know about in Israel, they support the state of Israel. You know what I'm saying? Even the Jewish Observer, you know, the Jewish press, you know.
You wouldn't call the cross Zionists, and yet at the same token, look, you didn't say there's a Talmud in there. It's
sure.
A different concept.
The cross was a Mekubah.
That's all.
That's exactly, that's the point. I remember that so, the Vilna Gaon, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, they were very much involved in this, in the Shiva Tzion movement. So you can't really include the Gra. That's not a very fair.
And it still was part of
right.
The,
correct. That's exactly the point. And the Vilna Gaon was very, very, very much into Kabbalah. Very much. Anyway, okay. The Gra was super Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh Bikesh Mea Aspianus Es Yavda V'Chachamer. Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh Asper Yavne Ve'Azekar Rabbi Yosef Enishim Mechamim Achor V'Leitam Misakeh. Rabbi Yosef said, what should he have asked for? That's what you shall have here. Why do you ask for Yavne? He says, God made a good omen for the hotel. I must make the states. Not me, but you know. The Otam Sifri we not do, those that prevented and were against, Chemika Sitshuva, Achav Sharmenu, Lo Kulam. Some did Shuva, and some not all of them. Rabbi Mibels got Nidgash in DC, our fellow Nathan Ma'anan, beat by the Fana, but Rabbi Mibels, he confessed, Achav and Achav Akim, says, Aini Bokho Yachas, and Aminaki living in Eretz Israel. That's a strong statement.
Rabbi Teich tells feeling.
Yeah, no, but the Bells already said that.
That's what I'm saying.
The Tzareinu Machazah B'Tshuva Ba'al Milcham Yidai. Until too late. He's by the way. He says too late. Lifnei Shloshim Shana Hamatzai Be'Eretz Hayah Shoneh Legamrei. This was, by the way, where Rabbi Teich said if they all went.
Right.
Can you imagine how different it would have been? Zudug Ma Yisodit. Right, it's a fundamental example. Odigma, Rabbi Migur, Haim Ayemes, Hekir Adruach Machshava Rabba Meinenu, Dami Yachas Eretz Yisrael. And we're very close with Haim Ayemes about this idea. Al Yado, Aluach Hasidim, Yerim Charedim, Rabbi Yisrael, B'Yisnuch Yisupim. Right, the Gera Hasidim, the Geras are amazing. You ever get to know, you know, it's worthwhile to go get Gera to visit Gera Hasidim. They're incredible people. I mean, they do incredible work. So in these courses, all the shvachol, you have to remember that. Who am I? Sheyesh chiyuv mitzvah l'dur chiyuv mitzvah l'dur b'Eretz Yisrael. He said you have to live there. Eitel shushelet rojin ayu dibuim nechmadim yafim ora Eretz Yisrael. Divrei kodesh. Right, the rojin mirach hasidim like us. Aval zu haita avaha ahava apaltonit v'lo b'obun ma'asit. Right, platonic. Right. L'matam, Rabbi Migori, Abal Maisa, Tamil Chacham Ish Maisa. So there was a platonic love of Israel, and then the Rabbi was into doing. Who bows good masik be Yishuv Yishdashu with Eretz Yisrael? Ima you rabim to Eilu Eretz Yisrael. They'll tell us mine if there were a bunch of Gera Rebbe's. Hamatzav Ruchani Baretz Hayash Shonei Legamrei. And that's true. There's a lot of lamenting about that. About you know, there's windows of opportunity, and when you miss the window of opportunity, it's very hard to make up for it. Bein Haskanim Atzionim Hashayachim Ministrati Atzionit among the administration of the Zionists. Minna Menachem Ossishkin, Chassid Chabad. The Mrai name is Chassid Chabad, Chassid Ossishkin. What? Is there a seat on that thing? Ossishkin. Chayav HaPratim Haya Yudi Dati Ba'adam Agun. He was a big guy. From guy. Pam Chazam in America, and he got into Kiddush. So he met in Kiddush. Bahayu Haya Nirashim Mezuzai. He was shaking. He was very upset. Makara. Hu Kibel Mavrek Dachuf Me'arebi Berusia. Right, he got a very telegram. Important telegram. Shayaga Dov Yisrael B'Yisrael. Right, the Rebbe was in Russia, so this must have been. He says the Zvavitcher Rebbe in the footnote, Rebbe Yitzchak Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson. Right, the previous Rebbe. Had Rebbe Yigino Masav says Lakanas the Bashos. It was dangerous. Lachen Yitzvakesh Anti Miad and the Rebbe Ashrayla Alol Eretz Yisrael. He got an emergency telegram. Get the Rebbe out of Israel. Zu haitat kufat shelton ha'angli, who was in the British mandate.
Right.
They gave great significance. Who asarast adom yisrael shelton, made great noise. Gadol ador koros hakadosh nefashos. right? The Gadol HaDor is in danger. You've got to get permission for him to enter into the path, the mandate, into Israel.
It worked out.
Mechachim yom, yomayim. Wait a day, wait 2 days. Ulubasov, mechavim yudiya. We find out a Rebbe Nasa America being come to the Eretz Yisrael. Yesh tzara lechazek sham et hayadut. Kishishkin hayad. They say, they need to strengthen Judaism in America. Kishishkin hayad nirash. He was like, busha vecherba, terrible. Hidvayashti li bergesh itel. I'm embarrassed to meet with him. Azamar Reb Zevin, chata hayudit hadatit. Yadut hadatit. From Judaism sin. Chata b'chet hadarot hakadmonim. Chet hamaraglim v'yachas l'eretz Yisrael. The sin of the spies. They sinned the same sin. Right? They start originally, they don't make Aliyah, and then they come and say, well, I can't move to Israel because, of course, what's going to happen? You're going to raise your children there. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be impossible. He said, who yochal the Shabbos?
Put in the effort.
Right. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Gam he tshuva, right? So tshuva also, tshuva lechlal Yisrael, tshuva l'aretz Yisrael. And mitocha, through that, tshuva l'shleimut shel yadut Torah v'mitzvot. Meaning, if you do tshuva about this, then it's a tshuva for Judaism, for yadus. Ve'ein Torah k'Torah eretz Yisrael. There's no Torah like Torah v'Israel. Torah v'Torah v'Yushalayim, Yushalayim v'Kadesh v'Kudeshet mikol eretz Yisrael, right? Merkaz ha-Torah v'Yushalayim, the center of Torah v'Yushalayim. Tarit ma'akir m'kach. You have to know this. Chiba yiteira nodat lahem im yodim etet. Right? There's a great love that God has in Israel, if you know this. Tarich ladat ulakir et erech shal terat eretz Yisrael v'terat Yerushalayim. You have to know and recognize, right, the value of Torah of Israel and the Torah of Yerushalayim. Very, you know, very strong words.
You're going back to davening.
What?
Yeah, well, I didn't get that.
What is the Siskin doing? The Siskin says, what do you want me to say? I mean, he was embarrassed. People come to him and they complain. They say, oh,
Siskin got the letter.
He got permission.
He got permission for the previous Bible Rebbe to come to Eretz Yisrael.
Instead,
he came. And I, you know,
Chabadnik, it says.
I'll be honest with you, you know, I mean, I'd like, one of the things that people say, about, especially about people who are more on the Haredi bent about moving to Israel as well, if your kids are too old or they're too American, it's going to be very hard for them to come. And I understand that that's true. I'm not going to debate that there's a truth to that. But what frustrates me the most is, instead of saying, well, what can we do to make life easier for these kids who are coming to Israel and going off the derech? Can we make a school for them? Can we create a situation where they'll succeed? Can we allow them not to be so, you know, ay-ay-ay? Instead of saying that, they say, well, they're going to go off the derech, they don't come to Israel. You understand what I'm saying? You know, like, that drives me nuts. So
that's the same argument.
What do you mean? Like, so create a path for these people that they should be able to come to Eretz Yisrael.
It's the same argument. Right? Don't get involved with the Medina, the same
argument. America,
I'm going back to the document.
It's the same argument.
What's that?
The trade for the